Welcome back. Now, the decommissioning of Eskom's coal-fired power plants will be delayed, a personal victory for Electricity Minister José Ntura Makgoba. But as we journey towards net zero emissions by 2050, who is going to pour capital into the reviving of the power utility's aging coal-fired power plants? Future Growth says finding private buyers for power plants will be an uphill battle. The organization's head of credit, Olga Constantatis, joins us with more detail. Olga, good afternoon. Thank you for being with us.
Hi, Nolotando. Thank you for having me.
So, I mean, Olga, Future Growth would obviously be very, very invested in the plans for Eskom to turn itself around, and all of us as South African citizens as well. I'm keen to find out that from the presentation made by the Electricity Minister, José Ntura Makgoba, what stood out for you? We'll certainly speak about the coal-fired power stations, but you know, the rest of the plan, how does that sound to you?
Look, I think what's positive is that there is a focus and a renewed vigor, I guess, to ending load shedding. You know, as everybody knows and has experienced, load shedding has been a problem, you know, for quite some time. And for some time, there have been a lot of plans in place, you know, to end it. I think that a focus on ending it is needed. I think maybe where the questions come in is the steps that, you know, to get us there. And so, you know, extending the coal-fired plants, you know, while that may be a solution, it does raise some questions around, you know, where's the money going to come from? What impact does it have in terms of our emissions targets? And what does it mean in terms of the IRP, which is the plan anyway in terms of our energy resource mix and transitioning away from coal and investing much more in renewable energy. So I think, the focus on ending load shedding is good, but I think there are some questions as to how we're going to get there given existing plans and existing statements and policies that are already in existence.
So from the funding perspective, Olga, I'm wondering, you know, we do know that National Treasury has come on board to take on some of that debt. I'm wondering if that could free up some cash flow, some OPEX, some CAPEX within Eskom to ensure that, you know, this plan is met, the ability to quickly respond to load shedding by revitalizing these power plants.
Absolutely. And part of the conditions of that debt plan, which envisaged or which will take over, National Treasury will take over some of Eskom's debt obligations, it does impose a restriction on Eskom's ability to incur further debt. And so it is going to release some cash flow that will enable it to spend that on maintenance. But Eskom is not, under the conditions as certainly we understand them, is not able to incur further debt to extend generation capacity. And so I guess the question then is, you know, where is that capital going to come from in order to extend the generation capacity of the country?
You know, I'm wondering from your perspective, you know, the parallel priorities here for South Africa's energy mix, I think, is what's really causing the task to be way more daunting than it would be in any other circumstance. We certainly have to end load shedding as soon as possible. The economy just cannot, you know, continue in this way. But we do have, you know, these just energy transition plans. We've also, you know, committed to receiving money in order for us to be able to see those plans through. I'm wondering, you know, if the state is balancing these two priorities as well as they should, because of course they are parallel, but they meet somewhere, and where they meet is where the complication actually is.
100%. And certainly from our perspective, it's very hard for us to understand, you know, from the outside, the outcome of exactly all of that balancing. There are some contradictory, you know, statements, things that are being said today that are different to what's already in existence. You know, even if we think about some of the plans that have been placed that came out in the budget around Eskom's debt transfer, there was a lot of focus on one of the conditions, which is that there's an international consortium looking at the coal-fired fleet and looking to implement some operational recommendations to improve it. We don't know where that's gone. Mm-hmm. So I think from the outside, what would be useful for us to be able to see is a coordinated response and an understanding of the new, you know, the new priorities and how those may have shifted previous priorities and previous statements and previous policy guidelines and other documentation that we've seen. It gets quite confusing for us to figure out what's, you know, what's what and what's actually going to be happening.
Then Olga, can you talk to us about how you feel our renewable programs is going? You know, we do know that as part of the plan that the electricity minister has, presented, he did speak about, moving past window 7, I think, and making sure that we certainly get the renewable programs moving much quicker than we have. How, quickly are we doing this? Are we doing this at the most efficient pace? Could that actually be the real solution to load shedding, one that doesn't include coal?
So, to answer your question crisply, no, we're not doing it at the right pace. There was a period of time, when we stopped actually procuring new renewable energy for, thankfully that has ended. There are some challenges. So while we are positive around the tilt towards renewable energy and this big procurement process that the minister has announced, we do have quite a lot of questions around that. The one is that one of the shortcomings that we know with existing bids that have already been awarded, there's a lack of capacity on the transmission network. So what that means is the projects can be built, but their ability to kind of plug in and evacuate that power through the network, that is limited. The transmission grid is very constrained, as we understand it, and it needs significant investment in order for it to be able to take on all this additional generation capacity. And so at the same time as all this additional generation capacity is procured, it's also important for us to understand how the transmission network is going to be boosted so that it can actually, take on those electrons and kind of, disperse them through the system. I think practically as well, given the bid windows that we have had to date, the one, and I don't know exactly if it's going to be in one bid window or staggered over a period of time, but certainly it's a very sizable, I think it was 15 gigawatts, 15,000 megawatts that was announced. And if you think about individual projects, they tend to be around the 75 to 100 megawatt per project. So a bid window of that order of magnitude would be between 100 and 200 projects. Mm-hmm. And each project has got a myriad of legal documents, technical advisors, legal advisors, financial institutions behind them. It's a very, very big undertaking to do all of that in one bid window. And so it is very encouraging that in addition to to doing what is needed in terms of improving and maintaining the existing fleet that we have, procuring such a big amount of renewable energy does pose some questions, which I think we would welcome a debate on and some further clarity on.
Well, Olga, always a pleasure catching up with you and getting your insights. Thank you for your time this afternoon. And that was Head of Credit at Future Growth Asset Management, Olga Constantatis.